Welcome to Raw Talk on M88. Call in with your questions or comments. Toll free 1-866-730-4921. Or submit your question to Dear DJ.
And welcome to Raw Talk here on M88. I'm your host, Yo, joined now, by my co-host, Mandy.
Hello, Yo.
Hey, Mandy. I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I am doing fantastic.
Are you really?
I am. I'm doing really well.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that. So, yesterday was Valentine's Day.
Yes, it was.
I figured, you know, we're going to talk about relationships a little bit today, but first I wanted to hear how your Valentine's Day went.
It was awesome, actually. This is my first Valentine's Day where it wasn't Singles Awareness Day for me, which I really liked. Let me just say, I was a little worried that I was going to miss it, but, you know, much to my surprise. Well, not really surprised. I wasn't really surprised, yeah. But I really enjoyed it. It was a nice change.
Tell everybody what happened. Come on.
Well, my sister's in town from Montana.
Right.
And so my mom had asked me to spend the night at my parents' house. So I wasn't sure what exactly was going on between myself and my boyfriend, Eric, who's awesome.
Good job, Eric.
Yeah, good job, Eric. But he's probably listening right now, which is why this is funny. But it was cool because I wasn't sure if I was supposed to spend the night there or not. And he even said, yeah, that's fine. Go ahead and spend the night at your parents' house. And I woke up the next morning to him making me breakfast at my parents' house, which was really nice. And they were able to come out later on and eat breakfast.
What did he make?
He made, golly, everything. Bacon, eggs, pancakes, fresh fruit.
Okay.
The works.
This is the most important thing. Was it edible?
It was very edible. It was really good.
All right. Very good.
Got compliments from my entire family, as a matter of fact. So
here, take this. Okay. We're actually shooting a little video as we share our Valentine's story. I took my wife to the St. James Tea Room, if you can believe this. Really not my place, but my wife loves it. She's very girly. We balance each other out really well.
Because you're all about football.
Dude, I'm the extreme dude's dude, and she's the extreme, you know, girly girl. And, you know, so she's helped me appreciate, you know, emotions and lace doilies. And I've brought an appreciation to her life of, you know, sports and red meat. And so we've balanced each other out really
well.
That's
a good balance.
It is a good balance. And so anyway, we went to the St. James Tea Room and it was like I traveled to a foreign land. It was, but she loved it. And so I'm sitting there, you know, sipping my tea and, you know, stirring with the little thing and putting sugar in it. Would you mind pouring me a little bit more, please? That would be fantastic. Thank you. You know, they bring out the little entree things. Almost everything was in a heart shape. I've never had more heart-shaped stuff in my entire life. And it was, so anyway, it was an adventure. But what's cool is 2 hours, uninterrupted time for us just to talk with each other.
Nice.
Yeah, so it was really cool. So that's my Valentine's story. And you can see those Valentine's story online tomorrow at M88.org.
All right.
All right. Now, tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to talk a little bit about relationships, since yesterday was Valentine's Day. And we thought we'd tackle this issue of courting and dating. And
it's a big one.
It is a big one, especially, you know, for Christians. There's some confusion about this. You know, what are we supposed to do? Court, date? How do I meet the person
or
I'm supposed to marry? Am I supposed to meet the person that I'm going to marry? Am I doomed to being single for the rest of my life? Mm-hmm. Is what a lot of people wonder. So, what we want to do, really, is answer your questions on this topic. So if you got questions about, should I court, should I date? How do I court? How do I date? What am I supposed to do as a Christian when it comes to romantic relationships before marriage? Well, give us a call. And actually, we have a new toll-free number. So no matter where you are, you can be listening online in Tahiti. You can call in toll-free and don't have to worry about being charged for that long-distance fee. 1-866-730-4921. That's 1-866-730-4921. 4921 to call in. It's toll free, and you can join us as we talk about this big issue, an appropriate issue after Valentine's Day, I think.
Yeah, definitely. One of the biggest issues, and I know we talked about this a little bit earlier this week, is where to seek guidance on this. Because really, we're gonna talk about some things tonight where people may not agree with us, and you know what? That's every show we do.
Well, it's hard to find agreement on this issue anyway.
Exactly. And so, really, I think an important issue is, and we're going to talk about it a little bit more later on, is where to seek guidance with this. Because, let's face it, you can't always turn to your youth pastor. You can't always turn to a book on how to court or how to date or, you know, which one is better or which one's worse or, you know, because, of course, dating, especially in the Christian world, is really looked down upon, I've noticed. And
yeah, it is.
You know, like I read an article this week.
Mm-hmm.
I actually read a couple articles this week. You know, I use Google a lot.
Yeah.
I've fessed up to that. Googled courting versus dating. And probably the first four things that came up were, you know, the evil of dating, or dating is the worst thing you can do, or dating is bad. Or and then I pulled up this one article, and it was just awesome. And one of the things it says in it is that courting should not necessarily be a replacement for dating. Because a lot of times what happens is you have these, you know, 13, 14-year-old kids who start, quote-unquote, courting, but they're not ready for marriage. And that's, the purpose of courting is to prepare one for marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I mean, by definition, the purpose of it. And the problem arises when you have these younger kids saying, well, I'm not dating, I'm courting. We're going to get married someday. And you have this extra pressure of marriage that's thrown on the kids
mm-hmm.
and on the families and on the youth groups that, you know, we need to cultivate these children. And I'm going to say children because I'm going to have a lot of 13-year-olds mad at me by the end
of the show.
But they're children.
Yeah.
Who, you know, they have this pressure there. And they really, it's the same thing as what they would be doing by, you know, again, quote-unquote, dating.
Yeah.
But they're calling it something different, and it's the same thing.
It's all a matter of semantics for some people.
Mm-hmm. Terminology.
Terminologies. You find the right Christianese terminology, and that makes everything okay.
Exactly.
And we do that in other areas as well. Well, 1-866-730-4921. I know we're hitting you with a new phone number tonight, but toll-free, so no matter where you are, you can call in. 1-866-730-4921 to join in as we talk about this issue of courting and dating. I had our intern, Sarah, do a little research for us at her high school.
Awesome.
Which I appreciate her doing, and she did a good job. And here's just a couple of things that came out. She went through her school and asked, her peers.
Mm-hmm.
She's a junior. Don't hate me if I got that wrong, Sarah. I really do pay attention to you when you talk. So she asked her peers, and here's some of the things that they said. Some people were neutral mm-hmm. on this issue of courting and dating. One person said, there's a small part of every girl that is a hopeless romantic and wants to be courted.
Definitely.
However, today that's hardly practical, which I thought was kind of a sad
statement.
That's
really sad.
Yeah. You have to get out to meet people, which makes dating more sensible. But when elements from both are combined, you can have the best of both worlds. And I felt the way you did. It's like, well, that's kind of sad, but that seems like a very prevalent sentiment in our society. Sure, courting would be nice, but we're in the 21st century. People don't do that anymore.
Well, that goes along with the whole, well, first of all, feminist movement, which if anybody ever heard the first show that I did, I used to be very much a feminist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was punched a guy in the arm for opening up the door. That's just how I was. Not so much anymore.
I
really love it, you know, when Eric opens the door for me and stuff like that. But the problem, I think, is that, and the reason why so many girls, unfortunately, fall into that thinking process is because, one, you have the feminist movement where women are supposed to be strong and the pursuers and, you know,
mm-hmm.
get out there and get what needs to be done. And, you know, if they want a man, they have to go find one. That's just how it's looked at, which is really,
yep.
really sad, first of all. The second side of that is the fact that, and I'm not going to generalize all men, but as a general rule in the world, chivalry has died out a lot.
Oh, yeah, we'll get into that here in just a bit, because I have some very strong feelings about that issue.
All right.
And actually,
that's
I got
great.
A quote here that will launch us right into that.
Great. Okay. So, I mean, you have both of these things working, really, against a true
mm-hmm.
a Christian and godly romantic courtship. And I say romantic because, you know, that's what it is. But a real courtship, as mm-hmm. opposed to, again, just terminology where you're calling it that for the sake of calling it that.
Right.
But that's true. A lot of these girls just think, you know, I need to go out and I need to date around so that I can find the right one. And,
yep.
you know, if this guy isn't chivalrous enough, then I'm going to go to the next guy. And if he's not nice enough, I'm going to go to the next guy, which, you know, falls on both the man and the woman.
Yep.
The guys for not, you know, owning up to what a godly man should be. And, you know, given we can't judge worldly men for living worldly, we really can't.
No, you should never be surprised when the world acts like
exactly,
the world.
Exactly. But as far as godly you know, I'm going to say quote unquote a lot tonight because really it's a lot of terminology, but quote unquote godly men act like the world. And when quote unquote godly women act like the world, you come up with this whole different set of problems. And again, it goes back to the terminology of courting versus dating and, you know, dating being evil. So we're going to court, but we're going to court just as we would date and just as the world dates.
Well, 1-866-730-4921 to join in tonight. And moving on from the people who are neutral, Sarah found that most of her peers in high school thought dating was the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
That was the general consensus, and that most kids are like, oh, of course you date. That's just what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what one of the guys had to say about it. And this kind of got me all ired, you know. There's another word for angry, just in case you're wondering. One guy said, men shouldn't have to be as formal. It's just not as comfortable when you have to court them. I want to know what kind of lame-o dude would actually think that way.
I hope he's listening right now.
I do, too. You know, because here's the deal. I'm almost at a loss
for
words.
Take a breath real quick.
I know. Okay.
Yo's over here men just, you know, steaming from the ears.
Should not be as formal? What kind of ridiculousness is this? I don't understand why guys suddenly think that, you know what? Women know that we like them. We don't need to treat them special.
We don't need to open doors.
They don't want us to do it anyway. It takes a whole lot of extra work. I mean, the mentality that we see today of men sort of giving up on being men and thinking, well, the feminist movement proved that women are equal. Hey, you know what? I'm all for that. Women are equal.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, positively. Still doesn't mean that we shouldn't treat them like queens. They absolutely should be treated like queens. And when it comes to the difference between dating and courting, I don't think it matters. You treat a woman the way she's supposed to be treated, which is a precious daughter of the living God. I treat all my girls in my household like they're princesses. I call them that. Why? Because I think they're very, very special. We'll get into some scripture here in a little bit that gets me all fired up. It's like, dude, this is the way a guy is supposed to behave. But that mentality, it's too formal, I think, is dumb. And it's no wonder that we have 50% of marriages ending in divorce in the church. Because even in the church.
It's really no different than in the world. If you look at statistics.
In some areas, it's higher.
Yeah.
In the church.
And
I think a lot of that comes from this idea of, well, it's too formal if you do it that way.
Yeah.
And then that kind of mentality just gets me really upset. Now, the reason I'm glad I didn't know you when you were all feminist is because, and I'm not sure where this came from. I know a part of it came from my dad. A lot of it came from my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it just came from, I don't know, reading the Bible. I don't know. But I've always felt that women, as the fairer sex, should be treated with a certain kind of kindness, with a certain sort of formality, if you will. They should be treated as very precious creatures. I mean, you know, just look at them. They're lovely. They're gorgeous. They're beautiful. How could you not want to treat something like that with a sort of delicate, soft touch, with a little extra care? You know, we do that for all of our special HD TVs, you know, we carefully mount it on the wall, make sure it's all dusted off, and guys know how to take care of things that are precious. That's what women are, and
now,
guys should behave that way.
Now, you know, I totally agree. I'm going to turn the tables on women right now, because here's, and again, this isn't in dating, this isn't even sometimes in friendships, it's just in general. One, I'm going to talk to all the feminists out there, just because I believe I can, because I remember
experience
how I thought, and I remember feeling, and here's the thing, you know, like the girl said that every woman deep down inside is a hopeless romantic. It's true. Even feminists are hopeless romantics. I don't care what they say. I don't care how guy-like they act, or how tough they are, or how, you know, what a good job they can get, or how much money they make. They still want to be loved, and they want to be cherished. That's just in a woman's nature. Another thing, just for these women who, and this one's all women. Okay, so that was mine to the feminists. This is mine to all women. Because I've noticed that when a guy treats a woman with care, even if he just opens a door for a woman that he has no idea who she is, girls get this mindset all of a sudden is, ooh, is he trying to hit on me? Which I think scares a lot of guys. And that's why I'm not excusing guys from that at all when they decide they don't want to be formal and they don't want to open doors. But come on, girls. I mean, come on. If a guy is being polite, don't treat him
Like he's from Mars.
Yeah, like he, don't treat him like he's from another planet because he's trying to be, whether he's trying to be a godly man or just trying to be chivalrous and trying to pay respect to us as women, that is such a beautiful thing. And, you know, we should look him in the eye, tell him thank you, and then, you know, leave it be. If you know the guy, just encourage them in that. And that's another thing I see a lack of is women fail to encourage their guy friends, their brothers, their fathers to be chivalrous. We fail in that tremendously. And I think, you know, on your side, for women not being treated like princesses, and on, you know, my side, for girls treating men like they're from a different planet, if they try to be chivalrous, really starts to fall into a lot of problems when we start looking at dating and courting again.
I got a wide range
up to that.
A wide range of reactions whenever, you know, I open the door for a lady. I just do it.
Did you ever have anybody punch you, yo?
You know what? I got yelled at once, like cussed out at for doing it. And you know, I've had, you know, the reaction like, "But I have a boyfriend." That's nice. Thanks for sharing. I really don't think that we're at our level in our relationship, seeing that we just met, where you need to share that kind of personal information.
Yeah.
If you just enter the building, that'd be enough for me.
Yeah.
You know, for me, it's become more of just second habit.
Yeah.
And here's the deal, fellas. Ideas such as nobility, dignity, honor, those things are not dead, nor should they be. And we as men in the church need to exemplify what that looks like. And one of the number one ways we can do that is the way that we treat women. You read the headlines today of what's going on in our world, of the way guys are beating women, they're raping women, killing, you know, it's just atrocious the way men treat women today.
Mm.
And I can't stand it. And so if I ever see you treating a lady with anything less than a proper sense of decorum, we'll have to go outside and settle it like men.
Well, yo, it seems like we're throwing a lot of warnings out there to all my listeners. You know, let's just encouragement for those of you who are living according to these things. Girls, for those of you who really do admire and pay respect to men who are respectful. And for all you guys who open the doors and everything, thank you so much, because, you know, this is a big issue. Obviously, both you and I are very opinionated on it.
Well, you know, I don't like the way guys have gotten all soft and wussy about it. And like, yeah,
and girls have gotten way too
that's
upfront
so
forward
lame.
About it.
It's like, it's not lame, fellas. It really isn't. One of the other things that someone said that I thought was kind of interesting when Sarah was doing this. Oh, by the way, if you want to call in, 1-866-730-4921. We've already stepped on a lot
anywhere.
Of toes.
Yeah.
If your toes are hurting, call in. Let us know. Let's talk about this. If you got questions about courting and dating, you know, we're talking in big grand terms right now, kind of a broad sweep. If you got something very specific you want to ask, go ahead and ask us. I'll tell you right now, I've had experience with both courting and dating. We'll get into that. And I think I can help you out from personal experience. I've been married 10 years, all right? I'm not saying
congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. I'm not saying I'm an expert, but I have learned some things about relationships with women that I think people might find helpful. So do call in 1-866-730-4921. One of the other things that was mentioned, I think with courting, you can get yourself into a marriage/relationship you can't get yourself out of. And with dating, you learn who that person is and if you want to spend the rest of life with them or not. And I thought that was very interesting, coming from one of the girls, basically saying, yeah, courtship, there's a big commitment there.
Yeah.
Dating, don't have to worry about it. And I think that also reflects a big mentality in our world today.
Mm.
We want the easy out.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Well, and that's... You know, there are a lot of things that happen before you're dating and even during dating that really add to problems in marriage. And I know we're talking about dating and courting right now, but really it's a step-by-step process. You know, you're single and then you're dating/courting and then you get married. The problem is that when you have such a problem with commitment that you're afraid to use any words that put you into a commitment, what's the difference in marriage?
Right.
You know, you're saying some words. That's pretty much what it becomes. I'm going to say some words. I'm in a commitment. But there's always this open door, you know, the back door that's always
right.
open.
The escape
waiting
hatch.
For you to run through.
Just in case.
Yep.
And, yeah, I got some choice words about that. But right now we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say, Kenneth?
Sorry, I can hardly hear you. I'm actually driving from Texas to Albuquerque right now.
Oh, awesome.
Cool.
Glad you could call in.
Yeah, go ahead and share what you had to say.
Well, I was I was actually in Texas visiting the woman that I'm actually in a courtship relationship with. And so I just wanted to kind of comment on how I came about that. Like, it, for me, the difference between a courtship and a dating relationship is along the lines of courtship is just making sure that you're prepared for that type of relationship before getting into it. Because, I mean, I go on dates with her as far as, like, it was just Valentine's Day. We went out for dinner and stuff. But it's not so much about, okay, dating is going out on dinner dates, but dating is the whole mindset of it. Dating just to date or dating for the purpose and the goal with the end result of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I was just kind of wanted to comment, like, I've never actually had any type of relationship with a girl besides friendships before this relationship. And so, I've been raised in a youth group where, courtship was taught. And, for me, it just seemed like it's such a righteous way to go. I mean, God leads you. And if you're in a relationship with Him and you can, if you can put Him first in a relationship with Him, then you know that you can put the person that you're going to be in a relationship in this world with, you can put them first too. And I think that's where your mind has to be before you
That's all very good advice, Kenneth. Thank you so much for calling in while you were driving to share that.
Yeah.
And good luck in your courtship relationship, man. I hope that really works out well for you.
All right, thank you.
All right, thanks, Kenneth.
Thanks for calling in, Kenneth. And if you'd like to call in, 1-866-730-4921 to call in. Question, comment. Please join us as we talk about courting and dating and just relationships in general. You know, the relationships that we have before we get married that so often have a big impact on our marriages, which is why it's so important to discuss this. If you'd like to call in, 1-866-730-4921. We have Randy on the line. Randy, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say, Randy?
Hey, I was just was thinking back about whenever I was growing up and learning in life, you know, and I just started dating girls and would just kind of be like, what do I do? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so what I've been deciding to do with my daughters is take them on dates and show them what a real guy should treat them like and have expectations, because most of the girls that I dated were basically the same thing, so what do you want to do now type thing, you know?
Right.
And it was, instead of having a plan and having some stuff set aside, we just kind of winged it. And so one of my goals is to show my daughters that they're going to be treated like a queen, like they should be, and if not, they can call me and I'll come pick them up.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Hey, just real quick, Randy, out of curiosity, because I had a few experiences too where it's like, yeah, I don't know, what do you want to do? I don't know, what do you want to do? How often did that lead into kind of dangerous areas when you didn't have a plan that you, looking back on, you're thinking, man, if we had a plan, never would have gone there?
Probably every time.
I'm glad you're honest, Randy. Well, yeah, and I just bring that up because you bring up a good point. We want to make sure that people understand, you know, if you're just, we'll just wing it.
We'll just do whatever.
That usually leads to some very dangerous problem areas, and that's better for people to avoid that, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah. And I was going to say about the feminist type movement stuff.
Yeah.
You know, my mom's never been into that type of stuff. She really despises it. But she always said it doesn't matter how the woman, what she wants you to do, you know where you're supposed to be at and what you're supposed to do. You treat them right.
Yeah, guys still have that responsibility.
What's that?
I'm sorry. I said guys still have that responsibility on them.
Yeah. Yeah. Just because somebody else doesn't want you to do the job that you're supposed to do, you still got to do it.
Right. Well, you know, it goes back to that. If you know what's right and someone else doesn't want you to do it, you still do what's right. I mean, that's just the way it's supposed to work. Well, Randy, thank you for calling in and offering those good insights.
No problem, man. God bless you.
All right. Well, 1-866-730-4921 if you want to join us tonight.
Yeah, and you know, just real quick, Randy touched on a really important topic, and that, to me, is that the importance of a parental figure really
involvement.
Showing... Yeah, it's the involvement there, the... that whether it be setting rules or, you know, taking your daughter out on a date and, you know, not just explaining this is how you should date, but just showing them how a woman is supposed to be treated and how she's supposed to be loved.
One of my favorite authors, Deborah White Smith, who touches on these issues a lot in her books, and she does such a great job from a biblical perspective, and just she's passionate about romance and how Christians should be the authorities mm-hmm. on this issue. But one of the things that she pointed out is exactly that children learn by watching and seeing what their parents do. Mm-hmm. And her sons now treat her the same way that her husband does, because they have learned that mommy is special.
Kids watch their parents.
That's right. And though her boys now treat her mm-hmm. the exact same way. And, you know, one of the things I've been trying to show my daughters is I'm not always perfect at it, but yeah. I try to treat my wife as very, very special. What I want them to see by me doing that is that they can expect the exact same kind of treatment.
Mm.
And, you know, as they get older, you know, one of the things I'm telling them is if a guy doesn't treat you that way, they ain't worth it.
Mm-mm.
Just move on. I don't care if they're Brad Pitt and Robert Redford's body, you know, whatever. How good looking or whatever they may be, I don't know. The point is, if they don't treat you that way,
right.
they're not worth your time.
Right.
We have Julia on the line. Julia, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say, Julia?
Well, hi. I just wanted to first off thank you for welcoming me on your show. I'm a little nervous right now.
Oh, don't worry about it.
Well, I just wanted to add also from the perspective of kind of a feminist who listens to your show,
uh-huh.
I think it's really important that women really step up to the plate and are very respectful in these situations too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, chivalry isn't just about men, but also women taking care of the men that take care of them. I love to be treated like a lady, and I always like to treat my gentleman like he is a gentleman.
You know, that is really, really good insight, and I'm so glad that you brought that up, Julia. You know, I can only speak from a guy's point of view, but you're absolutely right. As a guy, I know mm-hmm. that, you know, naturally, we respond more eagerly when people respect the things mm-hmm. that we do. It's
and
just
care about you and what you're interested in and how you like to be attended to.
Yeah.
And, you know, it definitely goes both ways. And also, it's very, very important that we take care of the elders in our community mm-hmm. like that and the children.
Hmm.
You are absolutely right, Julie. I'm so glad that you called in and shared those insights, because you're so right. That I think more guys, I'll be honest, that women have a role in it. I think more guys would be encouraged to do that if they weren't faced with people
yeah.
like Mandy, who punched him in the arm.
Not anymore.
You know, if they didn't have that, I mean,
right.
of course you're responsible. Like, well, that's the things I'm going to get. Why bother?
Right. Well, and Julia, something else is I think you bring an important view to it, because, you know, it's okay to...
Well, a lot of it gets laid on the guys.
Right, right.
You know, that's a lot of responsibility. For
and a lot of pressure.
Always, you know, to always feel responsible to make sure that everything is going well, you know. We're all in this boat.
Well, yeah, and we are called to be encouraging and respectful. And, you know, an important thing to remember is that just because a girl is supposed to be treated like a princess does not mean we get to be spoiled brats.
Right.
That's very, very upfront and honest about that, because really, you know, guys can be chivalrous to us and care about what we like and care about what we want without us getting everything that we want. Because really, I mean...
A lot of girls can be advantageous like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Julia, thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate you sharing those insights.
Absolutely.
This is very helpful.
Thank you for having me on.
You bet. Have a good night. And if you'd like to call in, like Julia did, you have a question or comment, please do so. 1-866-730-4921 if you'd like to call in and ask a question about courting and dating. You know, how do I court? What's a good way for a Christian to date? You know, whatever your questions may be, call in and ask them. If you got a comment you'd like to share, do call in. 1-866-730-4921. And Mandy, why don't we move into a little more practical area now?
Mm-hmm.
We kind of talked about some big comment issues and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to your experiences of dating and courting,
mm-hmm.
What would you say are the pros and cons of each one?
Well, technically, my first boyfriend is a boyfriend I have now, so I wasn't really...
The one who makes breakfast?
Yes, I know.
Well, that's a pro.
That was pretty awesome. I really didn't have an experience with dating beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
I got asked this question earlier today. I told my family, you know, the topic of our show, they asked. And I was like, oh, it's you know, dating versus courting. And they all laughed because they know my view on it. And my view is, and I'm just, you know, I'll just lay it out here right now.
That's what we're here for.
My view on it is that with Eric and I, we are courting, but we're also dating.
Right.
You know, we have a direction that we are going. Spiritually, we have prayed on it, and we are at a place spiritually where we know that we would be ready for it as soon as God opens that door. As soon as mm-hmm. we are, you know, ready in other areas, that's something that we're going towards is marriage. But we're still dating, and I don't think
I still date my wife.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, you know, when we go out on it's dating is dating, and you'd be surprised. I looked up the definition of dating, and then I looked up the definition of courting. You'd be surprised how similar they really are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on courting, there is that one final tag where it talks about, you know, it being for the purpose of marriage. But really, in all other aspects, they are the same. So, you know, we're doing both. We are dating and we are courting.
You know, honestly, with my experience with it, and this probably got me into some trouble in my oblivious state of mind, but for me, dating was always an event.
Mm-hmm.
You went out on a date.
Right.
Courting was cultivating a relationship,
right.
Which is something I never did until I met my wife.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I dated. I didn't really think of it that way. You know, I hung out with women
mm-hmm.
whose company I enjoyed. I thought of it as friendships, but, you know, we would do quote-unquote dating things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go out for ice cream, go play putt-putt. Sometimes
right.
we go out, you know, and have lunch or dinner or whatever, go to the movies. Or, yeah, that's the type of things that I did with friends.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my mom was always telling me, now, you realize that the women that you're doing this with might not, you know, have as an aloof approach to it. Like, what are you talking about? We're just hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
So I had a little trouble with that, and there were a few times, you know, where there were some, you know, romantic interests, but never insofar as, you know, I wanted to really pursue marriage mm-hmm. or anything with most of these women.
Right.
Usually what it'd be like is like, would this person be worth marrying? I guess not.
Yeah.
And actually what happened with me is I got to a point where, you know, I didn't feel like I was finding the woman I wanted to marry.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like, you know, I want to get married, and I don't want to be single all my life. But I got to this point where I was like, you know what? I'm not going to worry about that anymore. You know, I'm not going to, you know, every time I meet a girl, like, prospect or no?
Yeah.
I just kind of gave up on all that entirely. And it wasn't long after I'd completely given that over to God that I met my wife. And I'll tell you what, and she knows this. When I met my wife, there was no doubt in my mind she was the one for me. No doubt at all. In fact, the first time I met her, was at like a game night at a youth group, not youth group, it was college. So it was a college group. We're playing games, and I met her, and I had, you're going to laugh. Star Wars was re-releasing that weekend.
Uh-huh.
All right. You know, going back into the theaters for the first time in like 20 years, whatever. And I had a ticket to go that night, and I was like, mm-hmm. well, I'll pop in at the game night, and then I'm going to go hit Star Wars. So I go, and I meet this enchanting, woman, and there's just something about her where like, my spirit was just like going crazy, and I'm like, who is this girl? And this is where it gets funny, because I said to myself, I was like, way out of my league. I don't have a shot. I mean, not at all. I do have a ticket to Star Wars. That's a sure thing. So I left and went to go see Star Wars. Didn't get her phone number or anything. For the next 3 months, I was thinking about this girl, and I was praying about it, and I'd tell can't believe I'm going to share this on the air. I would tell God while I was praying, I was like, Lord, you know that girl I met? Man, she was amazing. I would really like to marry someone just like that.
Mm-hmm.
I know I can't marry her because she's way too good to me, and I'm never going to see her again, ever. But I'd like to marry someone just like her. Maybe a clone or a twin sister. But someone exactly
weird.
Like that. You know, I couldn't get it out of my mind.
Uh-huh.
I was thinking, the one I want to marry is exactly like that person.
Right.
I don't know how I'm going to ever meet someone exactly like her that isn't her, but I'm never going to meet her again. Well, 3 months later, I ran into her on campus. Just, I'm like walking to the post office. She was walking somewhere else. And we're like, hey! I was like, hey! What's your phone number? I had a little watch that you could put phone numbers
That's
in.
Great.
And
I'm
like, boop, 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 boop. Okay, thanks. It's good to see you. I'll call you. Because we're both in a hurry.
And you walked away going, ka-ching!
I was like, I walked away going, prayer works! That's amazing!
Funny how God can reveal that to us, right?
Yeah, so, long story short, well, there's more to the story that involves courting. She
right.
went to a church that taught courting.
Yeah, I remember you telling me
courting.
This story.
But that's how things got started.
Yeah.
And then I found out about the courting thing, and then the story got really interesting at that point,
mm-hmm.
which I'll continue here in a moment. But we do have some callers, so I figured we'd go ahead and talk to them first.
Right. So first we have Diana on the phone. Diana, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
Your show is awesome. I got married late in life, mm-hmm. age 38, and I courted my husband for 2 weeks before getting actually setting a date. But
wow.
Well, we have known each other for a long time.
Right.
We're good friends, and we're family. And throughout the course, you know, we were both checking each other out, you know. Is this what God wants? Is this where, you know, we really want to go? And we didn't want to ruin our friendship, and we're both very involved in our church.
Mm-hmm.
But when we had marriage counseling, the thing that stuck out was a book, and I don't remember who it's by, but it's called Love and Respect, and it talked about the man has to love the woman, but in addition, the woman needs to respect the man.
Right.
Without the respect, there is no love, and where there's no love, there's no respect.
Mm-hmm.
And that really has helped us through, I mean, of course, we've only been married 2.5 years, and we have grown together very much. But I think when you're looking at courting and dating and who's going to be your mate, the one that God has chosen, I think you need to keep in mind the scriptures and realize that, you know, if it really is the one that God wants for you, the waiting is worth it. Mm-hmm. And also, you just have to learn the secret of love and respect.
Yeah, that is really good advice. I'm so glad that you shared that because it's true, especially the secret of love.
Hmm.
I don't think our society has any clue what love is.
No,
absolutely not.
At all. You look around and they think they know what love is, but they have absolutely no clue whatsoever. And the sad thing is, that goes for people in the church just as much as outside
much as
the
that.
Church.
Well, and I think a big issue, and I'm really glad that you brought this up, Diana, is that really the issue is that people think that they know what love is. Like you said, people think they know what love is. The problem is that there is no respect there.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is you get this whole list, whether it's not respecting somebody physically or emotionally or, you know, caring what they care about for what they care about or anything like that, you begin to lose that love because, let's face it, without having the respect to back that up, you begin to feel like the other person really could care less or doesn't care at all.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's absolutely right. Diana, thank you so much for calling in and sharing that. We really appreciate it. I think that's going to be helpful to a lot of people.
Thank you.
All right, have a good night. Next up, we have Samantha. Samantha, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say, Samantha?
Hey, how are you guys doing tonight?
Doing well. What do you have to share?
I was wondering, how old should a Christian be to consider dating?
You know, that is an excellent question and one that I'll be facing very, very soon as my girls get older.
Yeah.
You know, what is the appropriate age for dating? And I'll let you answer this here in a moment, Mandy.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, in my experience, I don't know that you can set like an age that goes across the board for everybody. 13 is the age and then it's fine. Because there is a certain element of spiritual maturity that needs to be a part of that decision-making process. And for my girls, I'll be honest, right now, I'll know when they're ready to date when I see a certain level of emotional and spiritual maturity and development in them where I think they can handle the travails that come with a dating relationship. What that age may be, I don't know. If I had my way, the age would probably be about 25. But that's not realistic. That's just me as a father speaking. Obviously, it's going to happen before that. But I think it really depends on when they reach a level of maturity that they can handle what's going to happen in a relationship and the pressures that will be there.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Mandy?
Well, I think that there's a couple factors that come into play, Samantha. I think one, what do your parents say about it? Because really, on anything dating related, you really should be looking, you know, if you have, I'm going to set a standard in place. If you have godly, believing parents who really are, I'm going to say spiritually mature, if your parents are at a place where they are solid in their walk with Christ, then looking to them for wisdom and guidance on this is a key issue. If you don't, I was going to say, if you have parents that aren't believers, you know, going to a pastor or a godly woman that you know is the second best thing.
Well, my parents are Christians, but they think that, like, 18 or 19, when I'm old enough to decide for myself. And So it's like kind of hard to talk
about. Let me ask you this, Samantha, real quick. Why, I'm assuming, you know, hypothetically, if this were you, hypothetically, I'm not saying it is you, that's wondering what the right age is, but hypothetically, right, if it was you, why would you want to know what an appropriate age is?
Because I think it's important, like you were saying, for maturity reasons and being able to tell the difference between a guy that's going to treat you well or he's, like, going to, like, harm you.
Mm-hmm.
But what should I look for spiritual maturity?
Well, first of all, that if you have any sort of conflict, that you're not going to freak out and go into depression for, you know, 5 weeks and never be able to recover. It's over. I'll never be able to get over that one guy. You know, we have to understand. I talked to a guy. I don't remember his name off the top of my head, but he was actually on the Bachelorette show.
Mm-hmm.
And flying in the face of what is conventional wisdom in the church, he's a big proponent of Christians dating, mainly because he said, you know, Christians have to learn how to manage relationships when they go well and when they don't go well.
Mm-hmm.
That there is a certain way for Christians to learn how to manage that. Now, the flip side is some people say, well, all you're saying is that later in life, Christians need to learn how to handle a marriage that doesn't go well. It's like, well, no, but learning how to manage conflict well in a marriage, some of that comes from learning how to break up and stuff when you're dating.
Not breaking up in marriage, but in dating.
Right, in dating. However, let me say this, Samantha. We are called in the Bible to honor our parents.
Yeah.
Now, regardless of what your feelings may be, yes, I'm ready to date, maybe I'm not ready to date, whatever. If they're saying 18 or 19, the first thing we must do is honor what our parents say. Now, that doesn't mean we have to like it, but that's so important to God, it made his top 10 list. And so when it comes to this issue of courting and dating, parental input, even when we don't agree with it, is something that we must adhere to because God has called us to honor our parents. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't disagree with them. You know, talk with them, have conversations, fine. But as long as that's what they're saying, that is what we have to abide by. You know, and that's what I would expect my girls, whatever my decision may be when I reach that point, even if they don't agree with it. And honestly, one level of indication of whether or not you're ready to date may be if you're willing to honor what your parents say about it. If you're, that's too far away and I'm not going to do what you say, I'm going to go out and date anyway.
Mm.
That may be an indication you weren't ready in the first place. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and Samantha, I'm going to touch on one more thing. I'm actually going to share kind of just a personal experience with you that I had, because I remember growing up, we had two rules in place. One, which actually I think it was kind of changed a little bit, but for good reason. The first one is that we couldn't group date, and I'm talking going out, you know, with a guy that you liked in a group of people until we were 16, and then it was 18 years old before you could go on a one-on-one date with a guy. And I remember when I was, you know, 16, 15, even 13, being so angry about that. And you know, there really was no way around it. I wouldn't necessarily say that I even respected my parents on it, even though I didn't date. I was not respectful about it. I fought it every step of the way. And I remember just being so angry at the time or frustrated even, because I felt like I was ready. I did. I felt like I was, you know, when I was 16 years old, I was spiritually ready. I was mature enough. I was, you know, it was okay. And once I, you know, in my mind, once I started dating, from then on, you know, I could wait a few years to get married. It wasn't an issue. Now that I'm in a relationship, and now that I look back on those times when I felt like I was spiritually ready or emotionally ready, I can say two things. I can say, one, even though I thought I was, didn't necessarily mean that I was. And I can look back now and praise the Lord that my parents set those rules into place, because there is a lot of really big heartbreaks that I would have had to go through at that age. Just, you know, looking at guys that I had considered being in a relationship with or anything like that. There's a lot of heartbreak. Two, and this kind of goes along with, you know, the whole age rule. Really, I'm going back to on what you said. It's not really about a number, an age, because I know people who are 17 years old who are spiritually, emotionally ready to begin pursuing a relationship.
I know some guys who are 45 and are not spiritually
exactly.
and emotionally
and
ready to pursue a relationship.
That's the second side of it. So really, Samantha, for you, I would say, one of the biggest signs of maturity would, one, be respecting what your parents say no matter what. And I know it's not just you. I know that there are countless others who really, it is a struggle to respect your parents in that, or in a lot of things for that matter. But we are still called to do that by God.
I know that doesn't really nail down a specific age for you, Samantha, but hopefully that gives you some food for thought that will help you figure this out a little bit.
It really does, and I can help share it with my friends.
Okay, awesome. Well, good. Thank you so much for calling in, Samantha, because that was a great question, and I hope that helps you out.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right, take care, Samantha. Well, 1-866-730-4921. If you'd like to call in with a question or comment like Samantha did, it's a great question.
Yeah.
So give us a call, 1-866-730-4921. And going back to my story, I met this girl, and then I find out that her youth group taught Holy Courtship.
Mm-hmm.
This is my first encounter with it, mind
right.
you. And, you know, I'm in college now. Most of my life, I just, you know, I met a girl that I liked, and, you know, we go on a date.
It was easy.
Yeah. You know, that's just what I did. And, you know, if we hit it off,
and then you
fine,
hit a brick wall.
You know, we'll be friends, whatever. It didn't matter. I just like getting to know, you know, members of the opposite sex. Like I said, there was a part of me that felt very noble in being able to treat women in a special way, regardless of whether we're friends or not. And
right.
I think that's where I got, you know, some women, like you said, thought it was a romantic overture. Mm-hmm. I just thought that's the way you treat women.
Right.
Anyway, so she was into Holy Courtship. I'm like, okay, what's that? And so she's explaining it to me. It's like, this means that we can't go out, you know, at all. If we ever do anything together, it'd be in a group setting with friends. We'd just be friends. And the only way we'd ever be able to pursue a relationship is if you were intending to marry me. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm fine with that. Which wasn't the response she was expecting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because basically in her youth group, the Holy Courtship thing was, this is how you keep guys away. You tell them that it's only for marriage.
It's a whole commitment issue.
Right. And then, you know, the guys will be like, and they'll run away. She, my wife, ran into the problem of the fact that I wouldn't go away.
You wouldn't run away.
No. And I remember one of the defining phone calls that we had, she was saying, look, still trying to get rid of me. It's like, the only way that we can have a relationship is if A, you're my brother in Christ, or B, you're going to be my husband. And I'm thinking, come on, husband! You know, I got my fingers crossed on the phone, but very coolly, you know, I said on the phone, well, I'd be happy with either one.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had another conversation, and she's saying, you know, I just don't want to be in a romantic relationship because I'm trying hard to draw close to God.
Mm.
That's what I want. That's what my heart wants. And a relationship would just distract me from that. And my response was, and it was totally a Holy Spirit response. I don't think I would have ever been clever enough to, you know, pull this line out. But, and it wasn't just a line. It was, I felt sincerely about this. I said, well, how do you know that if we were in a relationship, I wouldn't be able to help you do that?
Hmm.
Dead silence on the other end of the phone.
Yeah.
Where she's like, oh, man.
Why are your answers so perfect, okay?
Yeah. So, anyway. After that, we did end up courting, and 6 months later, we got married, which is exactly what I wanted from the start anyway. But what I think they didn't teach her in her Holy Courtship thing in the youth group is that's what you're supposed to do, you know. And she'll probably correct me when I get home, but it almost seemed like in her youth group, it was kind of like, well, this is how you avoid dating.
Yeah.
You court instead.
Right.
And I don't,
scares but, people away.
Right. But I don't think anyone really knew how to do that in
right.
her youth group. Not that I saw anyway. And please forgive me, anyone who's listening from that youth group, if I'm speaking incorrectly. But we figured it out, and it worked out fine. It worked out exactly the way I was hoping for. And we've been dating ever since.
That's
in fact,
awesome.
We went on a date yesterday.
Aww.
And so that was my experience with dating and courting. And like I said, dating for me was an event. We went out and did something together. And I know it sounds kind of shallow, but wasn't necessarily building any sort of close relationship or spending time together. Courting for me was where the relationship was being developed. And I was more than happy to do that with my wife because that's the one I wanted to do that with. Mm. And here's one key thing I want guys to understand. Once I started courting my wife, any sort of close friendship / relationship with any other girl was instantly cut off. I can honestly say, to this day, I do not have a quote-unquote close female friend.
No.
At all. Because that is the exclusive Well, jurisdiction
of
my wife.
A lot of people have a hard time realizing that that can become an issue, but it really can. And, you know,
that was painful to do, though.
Yeah.
Because I did have some good female friends.
You have some ties that sometimes are really hard to cut.
I did, and, you know, some of them didn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
But my mom was one who actually pointed that out. She's like, you know, if you're serious about this girl, the way you act towards other women has to end. And not that I was treating other women badly, but all my... And so that was a tough thing to do. But it was the right thing to do, and I've adhered to it ever since.
That's awesome. Well, you know, it's great being able to hear your testimony of courting and dating. And I really, you know, I love hearing everybody else's views on it, too. Not just the views, but the personal experience. You know, we had a guy call in earlier who was talking about, you know, how he treats his daughters now and how that... he's hoping to help them to understand what the difference is or even how they should be treated when they get older. So if anybody wants to call in, and this is toll-free, so in-state, out-of-state, you know, so we had a guy call in when he was driving, 1-866-730-4921. Give us a call in, and right now we have Michael on the show. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing well, thanks.
I had a question.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm 16, I'm a junior in high school, and, every time I like hang out with the girl or, you know, talk to one, I'm like, wow, could this be like the girl for my future? Could this be my future wife? And I was wondering right now at my age, like, what should be my mindset and where should my heart be?
Honestly, here's my experience with that. I had some similar periods in my life, Michael. And honestly, I'd say you have to let go of that.
Mm.
That every time you meet a girl, you wonder if they're going to be your future wife. Because that immediately causes complications in any sort of relationship that you have with a girl. Because you're always thinking, ooh, maybe they're one of my future wife, maybe not. And when that happened to me, it hindered, like Mandy was saying, any sort of friendship I could have with a girl. And the reason I say you have to let that go, and this is a big thing, I'm glad you brought this up because I wanted to make sure and touch on this. Why is it we are so willing to trust God for our eternal salvation and redemption from sin and saving us from hell so that we can live forever, but we're not willing to trust Him with being able to help us find the perfect spouse? We seem so willing. It's like, salvation, sure. Finding a spouse, up to me. You know? And so I would say, if you can honestly in your heart let that go, and if you know, have some friendships with females, fine, but not always trying to, hey, are you my future wife? And just leave that between you and God and trust the fact that He'll make it very plain to you when you meet the right person. I think you'll have a much easier time.
Mm. Okay.
Definitely.
And I know that's hard to do. I had a hard time with it, but I will tell you, the moment I let that go, mm-hmm. I felt so free. I was not... you know, uptight and tense around a girl.
Yeah.
And when I did meet my wife, it was so clear.
Yeah.
Really?
I had no doubt in my mind. And it wasn't like anything like there's a prophet in a long beard sitting next to me.
No,
it's
like, just there.
Hey, yo, there she is. I'm like, oh, well, thanks, Mr. Prophet. Where did you come from? Yeah, it wasn't anything like that. But there was something in my spirit that just knew. Why? Because I had been spending all this time in my spirit through prayer and Bible study saying, God, I trust this to you.
Right.
Really?
And if you can trust God for salvation, we got to be able to trust Him for finding a spouse. So I hope that helps you out, Michael.
Yes, that did. That makes sense.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in, Michael.
Okay.
All right.
Are you guys taking
it? You too. And there's a couple things I wanted to run through before we got to the end of the show. We're almost out of time.
Okay.
We had a lot of good time. A couple principles. One of them was that right there. Prayer. Isaac and Rebecca. Remember that story in the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
Great romantic story.
Mm-hmm.
Key element to that romantic story? Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
When the servant went to go find a wife for Isaac, what did he do?
Right.
He prayed. And do you remember his prayer?
I don't.
It was like super specific. It was like, Lord.
No, I do.
When I go.
I remember.
And I have these camels. Make her say this.
Uh-huh.
And then I'll say this. And then she says this. And then she does this. And that's how I know.
Yeah.
And God did exactly what He asked. Amazing.
Well, something and this one's mind-boggling to me. I see that looked down upon a lot of times where somebody will pray a very specific prayer about their future spouse.
Uh-huh.
And that's something that, you know, I'm still praying for it, you know,
mm-hmm.
is that there are key elements in a man that in the man that I want to marry, and to see those actually being answered is one of the most beautiful things.
It's amazing.
The problem that I think people have with it is, and this is one that I've heard, don't test God. don't put standards on what God can do. And it's like, that's not what I'm doing. I'm not putting standards on what God can do. I'm asking God for specifics, and I know he'll go above and beyond.
Hey, Jesus said, ask anything in my name, and I will give it to you.
Right.
I think that can go for a spouse.
Definitely.
Most of us think it goes for a Ferrari. I think a spouse works
even
more.
I think it works better.
Yeah.
I think
it works even better. The other thing that I thought was interesting that is important is we have to understand what love is. And we never really got into this tonight. But take a look at 1 John 3:16. Take a look at 1 Corinthians 13. You know, take a look at the whole book of 1 John. We have to understand what love is. And love doesn't have anything to do with what the world is telling us at all. And if you, when I made my vows to my wife, I wrote them down myself. And they were not the usual romantic, you know, emotional type things. Basically, what I told her is, I told her, you know what? When you're sick and ugly because you're not feeling well, I will still choose to love you. And if times are hard, I will still choose to love you. I purposely wrote down my vows to say, I will choose to love you. And we hear that like, that's not very romantic. Choose to love you.
It holds a sincerity in it.
Right.
There's a sincerity behind choosing to love somebody. Because when you fall in love, you can fall out of love. But to choose to love somebody with the love that you see in God's word, given by him, because God is love. He is the maker of love. And when you can choose to love somebody like that, that has so much more solidity in it than just, I've fallen in love with you, let's get married.
Right, because then what happens when you fall out of love? And I wanted to make it very clear when we got married that that was not the case. Yes, I fell in love with my wife. Absolutely, I did. But that wasn't the issue. The issue was I was, from that point on, choosing to love her for the rest of my life. And I will never go back on that choice. And people say, yo, how do you know? Because it's my choice. That's how I know. That's how I know that I will be with my wife forever, because it's my choice. And I refuse to make any other choice. Well, it sounds very romantic. Yeah, maybe it's not, but we have plenty of romance in our marriage, trust me. And a lot of it comes from that choice. And then the other thing I wanted to make sure that people understood is guys have to learn how to how to treat a woman. Take a look at Proverbs 31:10, where it talks about a woman who is as rare and precious as rubies. If you could treat a woman like that, courting, dating, doesn't matter.
Or maybe nowadays your big screen TV, autographed football or whatever.
Right. Courting, dating, whatever. If you can learn how to treat a woman like that, you're ahead of the game.
Right.
Take a look at 1 Peter 3:7, where it talks about husbands should treat their wives with respect and be considerate as they live with them. Again, if you can do that, you're doing well. And I think that part of that is learned when you're courting and dating. And so those principles I want to make sure I related before we ended the program.
Right. Well, and something I want to touch on right now, because I know that there are probably quite a few people listening who said, well, this was about determining whether we should court or date. I still don't know.
No one said that.
Yeah.
We just said we'd talk about it.
Yeah, we said we'd talk about it, and I'd give you the complete and total answer. But, you know, I've noticed a lot of our shows go along those lines. But
well, this is a show where we want people to think for themselves.
Exactly. And I really hope this got people thinking. Something that I really want to touch on. Actually, two things, two major points. One is the whether you are courting or whether you are dating or whether you're looking to court or date. The key, just in what I've studied this week, is 2 Timothy 2:22. It says, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Whether you're courting, whether you're dating, whether you're married, whatever it might be, whether you're 10 years old or 50 years old, flee youthful lust. Because it doesn't matter what you call it. If you have the thought in your mind that you can just use a word and make it into this magical Christ-like fairy tale, that's not how it works. It is a matter of the heart that we have to be in such a relationship with Christ, knowing what love is through Christ, and being able to love and respect somebody, whether it's a friend or a spouse or a possible spouse. We have to be living according to the truth of the gospel, the truth of God's word, knowing that if we are going into something with the knowledge that, it could be, it could not be, we're just going to go with the flow. Do what the rest of the world does and call it something different. You're going to fall into the same things that the world falls into, because if you are not in your heart set on following Christ first and foremost and being first and foremost dedicated to him, you can't dedicate yourself to anybody else.
That's right.
Second point, real fast. Parents, before we end the show, I want to encourage, rebuke, whatever it takes. Because, and you know, I talked to you earlier this week about this. Parents are pushing this off on the church. The you know, whether it's the age of dating or if you should date or court, they're putting it off like, oh, go ask your youth pastor. Mm-hmm. If you are a godly man and woman who are raising a child, God has given this to you. The Bible calls us to raise these children up in the way that they would go. Raise them according to the word. If you feel like 16 is an appropriate age to date because you've seen your child live in spiritual and emotional maturity, that's a parental decision. Pray on it. Ask for guidance from God on it. But this is a parental responsibility. I believe it is a church responsibility to some effect, that if you see kids who are being led almost astray by the way their parents view dating, then you really have to step up as a congregation, as a church fellowship, as a youth pastor, as a youth leader, and really just encourage these kids to live in a godly manner, in a righteous manner. But golly, if those parents are on the scene, it really falls on them.
Yeah, and you're right. So often we hear people saying, well, what does your youth group do? Don't worry about
the youth group.
Right. You're the parent. Be the parent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great advice. You know, we had so much to get to that we didn't get a chance to. But I hope
it was a good show, though.
I hope what we went over in just this brief time was helpful. And if you still have questions, if mm-hmm. you still want to discuss this more, you can always write in at DearDJ@m88.org. You just go to the website, click on Dear DJ, write out your question, and we will answer it this week and mm-hmm. continue this conversation. Mandy can jump on there and answer some of your questions if you want. I'll be around to answer questions. So do submit your questions to Dear DJ if you have more that you want to discuss about courting and dating. And no, we didn't say which one we're supposed to do. That wasn't the
Start
point.
Thinking.
That's never the point of Rod Talk, mm-hmm. to tell you what to do. No, we want you to think and figure it out for yourself, and hopefully we pointed you in the right direction to start doing that. So thanks for joining us. Next week, it's going to be fun. We're going to have more fun.
Yeah, actually, this month was the 200th anniversary of Darwin's birthday, so we're going to be looking at that, you know, creation versus evolution,
mm-hmm.
You know, intelligent design, whatever you want to call it. We're kind of going
to call it creationism, Mandy.
Yeah.
Intelligent design is something totally separate.
We can touch on all of them because I'm sure people have questions about all of them. But we'll definitely touch on all that next week, and it's going to be exciting because it's very controversial.
Yep.
You know, because none of our other shows are.
No, never are. Thanks so much for joining us tonight. Hope you have a great evening in the Lord.
Thanks for joining us on Raw Talk on M88. Get the podcast of tonight's show free at M88.org. And join us again next week for more Raw Talk on M88.